Well, I'm going to get out of the way, and Brother Jared has been working with our young people, of course, all the youth workers, and so tonight's the youth service, and the youth group's changing. Can you tell that? It goes from old to young, and so there's some younger ones. Brother Jared will tell you all about it, and then the teens will take over the service.
Well, we will get to the youth service in just a minute. Trust me, I was talking to somebody who said, yeah, the service will be pretty short tonight because it's a youth service. I forgot there's three full-time men in the ministry going to speak beforehand, so it might not be that short of a service. But we're excited about our annual fall youth service. I do want to mention Mr. Mark Waldemeyer. He puts a lot of time and effort into organizing it. Unfortunately, he's under the weather, not here tonight. But he goes over with the teens for about 6 weeks beforehand, ingraining it in their minds what they're doing. So he's not here to see it, but he put in a lot of work there. But I also want to thank Ms. Jenny Starr and my wife and Matt and Anna Parks and Ben and Emily Hoxie for helping out in the youth group as well. Just want to give you a quick snapshot of the year. This year in teens, we've our theme this year is walking in wisdom, and our focus has been really to study the book of Proverbs. And just as young people, and I include myself in that group, but as young people, to get wisdom and apply wisdom to our lives. So we had a goal through the first 6 months of the year to memorize Proverbs chapters 1-6 as a group. So each team would sign up for a few verses here and there. And we hit that goal. We memorized 6 chapters of Proverbs, and we took the youth group down to King's Dominion as a little bit of a reward, but for accomplishing a goal. So we're in the middle of working on memorizing the next 6 chapters. So we're working on Proverbs 7-12. And that'll bring us to almost half the book of Proverbs that we as a youth group will have memorized this year. So that's kind of our goal this year. In addition to that, we've got our Bible quizzing coming up in a week from Friday. And so the teens have all been studying Proverbs 8-12. They're going to be quizzing off of that next week. So that's kind of been our focus. We've enjoyed having something. We've been working together as a youth group, memorizing things together, pushing each other, a little bit of competition too. So lots going on, lots that we did. We have had a great year of the youth group so far. Looking forward to a good fall. A lot more coming on. But we're excited about tonight. And without further ado, we'll let the teens start their youth service.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 155.
Tonight's announcements include we will be having a baptismal service in the annex right after the morning service on Sunday, October 17th. Baptismal candidates need to meet with Brad Peters on or before Sunday, October 10th. Also, mark your calendars. Our annual missions conference is quickly approaching, Wednesday through Sunday, October 27th through October 31st. We are looking forward to a great week with some of our missionaries and new missionary family. In order to help us plan for the week, there are a number of sign-up sheets for you to consider signing up to help or participate in the week's activities. If you have questions, please see Brother Todd. The sign-up sheets are meals for missionaries, children's conference helpers, ladies' lunch attending, ladies' lunch helping, ladies' lunch helping by bringing food, children's activity, and the Thursday night meal. It's that time of year. There are college student care package collection boxes in the foyer. Notes from home are especially appreciated. If you would like to be a blessing to our college students, just drop a note or a treat in the boxes. The last day for collection is going to be October 20th. And also, ladies, don't forget about the Lady Bible Studies tomorrow.
the theme for our church this year has been focusing or forsaking the seen and focusing on the unseen. God has just really been working on me throughout this year of focusing my thoughts on him. In Psalms 10:4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." And also in Proverbs 12:5, it says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right." And these verses just convicted me about my thought life. So often I get caught up with work and school and just life in general that I'll forget to meditate on God. And, you know, like I'll do my devotions and then after that it's like you go on to the next thing and God just slips your mind. And it just convicted me because how often do I go throughout the day without thinking of God and thanking him for all he's done for me. And God's just really been working on me this year on that and just really convicted me to focus on the unseen and on God.
Stand and turn on your hymn books to page 324.
It is more just to walk with him is what is found to me. It is better for my soul, he said. It is more divine to feel a nearer air my destiny. For the Lord is for you.
It is for you.
I was reading my devotions in Psalm 37, and verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And the Lord just really used this verse to comfort me. I'm a senior in high school this year, so I've had to think a lot more about my future and, you know, what I'm going to do after high school, which can be really scary. But the Lord just showed me through this verse that I don't have to plan out my life by myself, and that he's already ordered my steps for me, and I just have to seek his will.
You might think that Christina was part of the youth group with how much she's been up here, but she actually graduated a few years ago. Well, we want to thank Christina for giving her time to help accompany a lot of the special groups. This time we're going to have two of our young men come up and preach. Truman Hendricks is going to start us off, and Eric is going to finish. Eric Haywood's going to finish us off. They're both in 10th grade, and we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord gave them to speak to us tonight.
Good evening. Would you please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The title of my sermon tonight will be The Contrasts of the Bible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for the sermon that you've given me to preach. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the congregation, Lord, as well as to my heart. And I pray that you would just use this for your honor and glory tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, there are three specific contrasts that we will be focusing on tonight. And these are the fool and the wise, the wicked and the righteous, the sluggard and the diligent. We will start with the words of the fool and the words of the wise. Now, you're already in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. Now, let's look at that. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, prating in this verse means idle talk, useless speech, saying things that don't mean that much, that there's no point to what he is saying. He's just rambling on. That means, let's say hypothetically you have this friend that you could ascribe the word prating to. That means that he wouldn't, after you come away from a conversation from him, you wouldn't be edified. You wouldn't be sharpened. You wouldn't get anything valuable from that conversation. So the fool's words are useless. They are just rambling on. Also, the fool's words can be wounding. Look at Proverbs 18:8. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." This means that the fool is a talebearer. He shares rumors and secrets with people that would offend them and hurt them. So we see through these verses that the fool has words that can be hurtful. They're not constructive. They're very destructive to a person's morale or character. And now that we've seen that he can hurt people and he can ramble on with useless words, let's compare that with the words of the wise. Turn to Proverbs 18:4, or you're already in that same chapter. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. This is a stark contrast to the words of fool, which are empty and useless. The words of the wise, however, are a wellspring of wisdom. And like a flowing brook, we think it's refreshing. That's what it means here. His words are constructive, not destructive. In Ecclesiastes 10:12, it also says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up," or will swallow up himself. This verse gives another good contrast, because these words are gracious, the words of a wise man, but the words of a foolish man, obviously, as we have seen, have hurt people, have done the exact opposite. And so these words are gracious. And we can look back at, I missed something in Proverbs 18:4. It says, "are as deep waters." That's a good contrast to the shallowness of the talk of the fool. And so we see these words. We have just compared and contrasted the words of a wise man and the words of a fool. Now we are going to look at the words of the wicked and compare them to the words of the righteous. Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 10:31-32. In Proverbs 10:31-32, it says, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." Now, frowardness in this verse means crooked and perverse, things that are filthy and unclean. Another verse states, Proverbs 12:6 says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." Now, just as a side note, I thought this was interesting, that we can see the wicked and the righteous. The righteous person's master is God, and the wicked's master is Satan. It's interesting that the wicked's words are to lie in wait for blood. Now, Satan, it reflects the wicked person's master, because Satan is described in 1 Peter 5:8 as a roaring lion. Now, what does a roaring lion do before he pursues his prey? he lies in wait, just like the words of the wicked. And we see that the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. What does the Lord do? In Psalm 56, verse 13, it says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before the Lord in the light of the living?" And this means that the righteous person's master, God, is the exact opposite of Satan. And it just provides a very clear picture in this verse. And it also reminds us that we are representing Christ in our daily walk and that we should be careful what we say. Now, so to finish with the words of the righteous, we saw earlier that the words of the wicked are crooked and perverse. Now, in Proverbs 10:32, it says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness." He knows what's pleasing to the Lord. And oftentimes, we know what's pleasing to the Lord, but we don't always say what's pleasing to the Lord. We are to be diligent with our words. We are to be guard our mouths when we speak. Now, let's compare the words of the sluggard with the words of the diligent. In Proverbs 26:16, it says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." This means the sluggard, no matter how wrong he is, no matter how backwards he is, he still believes he's wiser than a group of very wise men. The Bible also tells us that the ants are smarter and wiser than the sluggard. It says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." The ants are hard workers. They prepare, they store up food. And what's interesting here is if ants could talk, which they don't, obviously, but if they could, they would say how foolish the fool is. Because it also says in the Bible, and there's several verses in Proverbs, forgive me, I don't know the reference, it says he will not plow by reason of the cold. And how the ant will work, and it will work tirelessly to store up for the colony, and yet the fool won't even provide for himself by reason of his bodily comforts. And we also see a great contrast in Proverbs 22:29. This is now speaking about the diligent. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Now, remember back to Daniel and Joseph. They were both very diligent in their business and responsibilities. And they stood before kings. In fact, they themselves almost became kings. They were in high offices. And they most certainly were righteous with their words and their dealings. And we can ask ourselves, have we been honoring to God with our words? Have we guarded our mouths this past week? Have we taken an effort to do so? Job 6:30, it says, "Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things?" Now, how often do we stop and think about what we're saying? That is very important to do because we are known by what we say. And it says in Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles, so that you can avoid many troubles by keeping your mouth." We have so far looked at the comparison of the words of the fool, the wicked, the righteous, and the fool and the wise, the wicked and the righteous, and the sluggard and the diligent. Now, let us look at their pathway, the pathway of these individuals. We are all on a path to somewhere. Don't you want God to direct your path and not let Satan lead you astray? Because remember, Satan doesn't need to get you on a certain path. He just needs to get you off God's path. And in Proverbs 1:10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." This is obviously the father speaking to his son, saying, if you go in this path, you're going to encounter many troubles. And in Proverbs 1:15, it says, "My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Don't even step foot on it. Don't consider going on their path. Now, also in Proverbs 9:6, it says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." That's implying that in the way of understanding, there is life. But in the way of the foolish, there is death. Now, how many of you would like to die? No one. Okay. This Bible verse is stating quite plainly that if you go in the way of the foolish, it is death. You're going to die. And it's going to be, it also says, and I'll get to later, it's a very dark path. It's a very, not a path you want to be on. And in Proverbs 12:28, it says, in contrast, in the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. And it, now we will look at the pathway of the wise. Now we will contrast. In Proverbs 13:14, it says, in the law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. So it keeps mentioning life and death. It makes a very poignant statement about that in Proverbs, especially how in the way of the fool there is death, and in the way of righteous there is life. This indicates a departure from the path of the foolish, departing by wisdom from the snares of death. That verse, Proverbs 13:14. Now, in Proverbs 4:11, it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. So, by listening to and following godly precepts you have been taught, you will keep yourself on the right path. That is the path of life. A very well-known passage in the Bible, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This pathway is the pathway of the wise. Now we have seen the pathway of the fool and the wise. Excuse me, I might have said righteous and wicked a couple times in there. This is contrasting the fool and the wise. Now we need to look at the pathway of the wicked and the righteous. Turn to Proverbs 4:14. In Proverbs 4:14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. So, again, another statement saying we are not to go in their path. This is a warning to us that we are not to hang out with these people. We're not to have associations with these people. And in Proverbs 14:19, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And how foolish would it be if I were to go out in the woods and it's midnight, it's a cloudy night, and you were to offer me a flashlight. Let's say I had to go out looking for something, and you were to offer me a flashlight, and I said, no, thank you. Well, you would think me pretty stupid, because you're going to trip over a lot of things like stumps and rocks, and you would eventually get lost. And it says that clearly here in Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, how foolish are we as Christians who have access to that so-called spiritual flashlight, and we often turn it down to go in the way of the wicked. And it's a very foolish thing to do. In Proverbs 4:18, it says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This is the exact opposite of what the path of the wicked is. Now, I have an illustration for this. My Uncle Mark and my Papa, where he relayed to me a story about him going, they going into the woods and with their coon hunting dog, and they always had to take a lantern with them. Now, like I said before, it would be pretty foolish for them to turn off that lantern, to blow it out or whatever. And they would be completely lost, and they would know not what they would not know at what they stumble. And it's just a very powerful statement that we don't often look at it that way, as we're not knowing at what we stumble. We think we get off God's path, and then we question, why are all these things happening to me? Well, you know not at what you stumble. And so it's a very, very good verse. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so our spiritual lamp is the word of God. Now, as mentioned before in Proverbs 12:28, in the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. This tells us that the pathway of the righteous is lighted with wisdom and is life. This is the pathway we want to be on. Finally, we want to compare the sluggard and the diligent. Now, please go to Proverbs 6:6. In Proverbs 6:6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise." The sluggard's path really isn't too much of a path. In this verse, it tells us that the sluggard is to observe the ways of the ant. And one of the main characteristics of the ant is that it has very organized paths or networks that it travels on to various places to accomplish different tasks. This means that's not the characteristic of the sluggard, since he's telling the sluggard to go observe the ways of the ant. Therefore, the sluggard doesn't really have a path at all. He just floats along and lets life pass him by, and he's lazy. He's not willing to put his hand to anything. And now, in contrast to that, we see the path of the diligent. In Joshua 22:5, it says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." The pathway of the diligent man shows that he is walking in the ways of God, keeping his commandments, serving the Lord, and cleaving to the Lord always. This takes diligence. This takes thoroughness. It takes discipline to get up in the morning and to read your Bible and pray and to get that light for your for a long day ahead. When we go out to the world, we have the light, which is the Bible. And in Proverbs 4:26, it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Be diligent in thinking about where you are heading today, because it will help you be in the right place tomorrow. This diligence is obviously effort. And as we see, the sluggard is not willing to put in any effort to anything. And so he's just floating along life. And this pathway is not always easy, but it is the right pathway. And the pathway will lead to blessing. In Proverbs 21:5, it says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want." Now, in conclusion, we must ask ourselves some questions. So we have seen the contrast of the diligent and the sluggard, the fool, the wise, the wicked, and the righteous. Now we need to ask ourselves, what have our words been like lately? Have our words been like the fool or the wise, the wicked or the righteous, the sluggard or the diligent? Has our pathway, what does our pathway look like? Do you have a pathway? And if you do, where is it leading? Have you been diligent to keep your mouth? Have you been diligent to make sure you are on the right path? And in conclusion, my prayer for you tonight is that the Holy Spirit would speak to you from His Word, just as He has to me, about these contrasts of the Bible.
Give me a moment, I got to figure out this technology here. Okay, so there are two kinds of bodybuilding I'm going to talk about tonight. There are physical bodybuilding and spiritual bodybuilding. And I'd like to give 4 points on them. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for being able to come out to church and hear your word preached. I thank you that we have a building to meet in. And I pray that you'll give us a good rest tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, my sermon is on spiritual bodybuilding. The first point is plan. Bodybuilders plan what gym to go to, what weight to use, how many repetitions to do, and what exercises they're going to do. A spiritual bodybuilder also needs to have a plan. The first plan is reading God's Word daily for guidance. Proverbs 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Second is setting aside time for verse memorization. You turn to Proverbs 6:21. I will read a passage there. Proverbs 6:21 says, "Bind them continually upon thy neck, or upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck." In verse 22 it says, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee." Third, you want to meditate on the word of God day and night. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." And the fourth plan is being prepared to go out to share the gospel. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." While in physical exercising, we may always want to consider what foods we are eating, like protein bars, drinking lots of water, or having a certain amount of fruits and vegetables. Oh, vegetables, that must be a typo. But in spiritual building, God's word is our food for spiritual growth. Proverbs 3:8 says, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." When we take in the word of God, that's what keeps us going. The second point is train. And weight training is very important, that you warm up so you won't pull a muscle, a tendon, or even your back. You train the body to get conditioned. In spiritual training, reading books on spiritual growth can help you as you train yourself to build up in your faith. Well, you might ask, how do I find good books? I'm glad you asked. You can find authors that have the same belief as you do, or by asking your pastor to refer you to good resources, or by taking a little trip to the bookstore downstairs. Another way to train yourself is how many times to read each day. Although there is no specific number of times to study the Bible, Psalms 1 verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Now, night in this verse is talking about the evenings because of different time schedules in Israel. Well, because 6 in the evening is the start of the next day. So any time that works for you is good, but the more you read, the more you grow. So what happens if you don't train or build up in your spiritual body? Well, you will lose focus and faith in God, and you will sink in the waves of the world like Peter in Matthew 14:30. "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." My third point is don't cheat. Skipping out on repetitions, missing days, and eating too much junk food are a few of the ways you might cheat yourself in bodybuilding. Same as in spiritual building, we can cheat ourselves by putting more physical than spiritual things first. For example, spending a lot of time playing video games or watching YouTube videos of guys get a deer while hunting when you're not so successful yourself. Or any other way that would take your time and energy. Another way of cheating yourself is when the Holy Spirit prompts you to give a tract or share the gospel and you put it off. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 14, you would turn there, please. The verse says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." If you do not share the gospel with someone that the Holy Spirit tells you to, you will have to give an account on why you did not to God one day. And the last point, the end results. Some achievements you will probably accomplish after a couple of months in physical building. Well, you will have better health, weight management, and more muscle. But for some people, results may vary. The results in spiritual bodybuilding is getting closer to God. And James 4:8 tells us that you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Another result is your mental state of mind will be better. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us, "But be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Lastly, you can help others grow spiritually. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do." And Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So the question for you tonight is, are you building your physical body more than your spiritual body?
If you would bow your heads and close your eyes as we just take a few minutes to think about some of the truths that God gave these young men tonight. And just think about Truman's. He talks about the contrasts. And I think in all three of those groups of people he talked about, there's one group that we would want to identify with, we would want to copy, and there's another group we really would be ashamed if we were like that person. And boy, one thing that jumped out to me, he talked about the words are a reflection of the heart and of the master. And I was just thinking, what master did my words this week reveal that I served? Did my words reveal that I was a servant of God? Or did they reveal I was serving myself and serving maybe the world, maybe serving Satan? What did your words say about you this week? What do your words normally say about you? He talked about the light and the paths. Have you been stumbling? That might be a sign that you don't have the light in your path that you should. Do you have the light in your path? If you don't, that might be a sign, a forecast in the future that there might be stumbling ahead. Which group does your life more identify with? As we looked at these different groups with the words and the paths. And we got to hear Eric talking about bodybuilding. And the one thing he said, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. You got to have a plan. I think every Christian here would want to be stronger and be building spiritually better than they are now. Do we have a plan? If we don't have a plan, we're not going to get where we would like to go. And boy, something else he said, cheat days. It's so easy to have a cheat day, isn't it? But you start adding a cheat day or two or three and they start stacking, and you probably won't go anywhere. In fact, you might go backwards from where you started from. Spiritually, do you have a plan that's going to bodybuild you, build your spiritual body stronger? Or are you letting too many cheat days in? Cheat days that are going to hurt you and bring you back worse than you actually were when you started. How's your spiritual bodybuilding? We're going to pray, and then I'll ask the piano to play as soon as we finish praying. And then if God spoke to you, we've got the altar front. You can come and spend some time with the Lord. Lord, I thank you for these young men, these young ladies, Lord, that you've, Lord, given them some talents, given them some opportunities, Lord, that they've, Lord, they've taken advantage of and given time and preparation to, Lord, prepare messages, to prepare music. And Lord, we thank you for them. I pray that you'll be with us in these next few moments, Lord, as we think about your word and what you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. Lord, help us to make any changes that you put your finger on. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, And we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.